Good morning. Thanks for your prayers last week. As Wanda and I and a team from Lethbridge here were in Regina last week to hold a Living Free conference there. And what a beautiful congregation that is developing there. God's presence clearly there. A beautiful group of people who engaged so without hesitation into the things that God was leading them into. And so wanted to just bring you that good report. And thank you for your prayers. Such a good, just a beautiful sense that God is building and leading that congregation. Wanda and I want to speak with you about what God is doing in our lives and the transition that He is moving us into. And we found as we've had this conversation in different settings over the time that having said that, now you won't hear anything else until I tell you what's going on. And so I'll give you the short version and then we'll sort of give you some explanation for that. How do we say this again? And so God has brought us to the place where we have accepted invitation to take the pastorate of the Via Comox Valley Church. It's your call. that's the end point, to give you a little context for that. I think, particularly for myself, there's been a sense that God has been shifting some things since the end of last year. Particularly here in my assignment at church, where right now my work is probably about 50% administrative and 50% pastoral in nature. And I think we don't always recognize the power of God at work in our lives. Mm-hmm. That we get into a bit of a routine and we do our stuff and it works and then we're quite surprised when all of a sudden it stops working. Because we don't understand that God's lifted some things off. And so that was happening for me, is that some of the areas that I'm responsible for just felt like I had driven off the road and into the mud. And it got increasingly more challenging, and I felt like I spent more time spinning wheels than making progress. And so that causes significant distress for me, particularly when it's in the things I'm supposed to be good at. Yeah. What's going on, and perhaps, perhaps things are, caused a great deal of self-doubt for me to say, this isn't working, so then what's going on? And so it was very helpful then to have Todd come and give some different perspective on that.
So what happens when, and you've maybe been in these places, I'm sure you have, and so what happens when God comes and says, what if, and he said it through Todd, what if this isn't about failure? What if this is about promotion? Promotion in that sense of God having a place for you that fits with this season and fits with the desires that are in your heart. So when we sat and met with Todd and chatted about this, he just kind of sat there in our living room and just kind of graciously gave us 2 hours and just asked us good questions and brought some perspective, hold up a little bit of a mirror, which we know we've all been in places where we needed that. We need to see ourselves rightly. And so that's the beauty of community. It's the beauty of having a bishop. I remember saying to Todd, so you're our bishop, so does this mean we should just ask you where we think, what we think we're supposed to do, and you'll put us where you need us? And he said, my job is to serve your calling, not to fill a need. And so I just want you to know that that's how he's walking with us.
So we didn't start with a particular location in mind. We started with a process of saying, so if God's Spirit is moving, what indicators would there be? That where is he moving that to? What are the things that are life-giving? Where do you see God's blessing and fruit in ministry and in the things that you're doing? And probably more importantly, what are the desires of your heart? What are the core things deep in your heart that that might be part of this next season, that if we would start with those core desires and understand them, that then the practical things of what kind of a job description or what kind of location or all of those kinds of very practical questions are fairly easy to answer once we know what we want. What's the cry of our heart?
And we're on this journey, aren't we, of learning that our hearts are not evil, and that it's from the deepest place of our heart that we serve Jesus. And so whatever is in those deepest places of our heart are things he has put there, and he wants us to serve him wholeheartedly. We're not slaves, so we're sons and daughters and friends, and so we're on this journey as a church, aren't we, to give credence and give value to what's in our heart, and to be honest about what's in our heart.
So I think it was very interesting for me to, we have a set of cards that have 16 core desires on them. We laid them out on the floor.
Some people play crib. We play core desires.
And it was very interesting to notice that 8 years ago when we first came here to this body, that looking at those cards, I could say, oh, I remember 8 years ago feeling like what I need is security, to be known, to have a place, to belong somewhere, and to recognize that God has filled those desires largely through this body. Mm-hmm. And that in having place and being known and having security and safety, that other desires are then allowed to come to the fore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so as I considered what were my desires going forward, they were more things around challenge and freedom and relationship and friendship. And so those set some things in place around what might God have for us in the next season. I'm still on then? Okay.
Oh, no, I can talk about mine.
Yeah, do.
So I recognize, too, so we spread these things on the floor, these desires and cards, and we look at them, and it's so interesting. That's a great way to map out your journey a little bit, what's been in your heart. Sometimes we don't have language for what's been in your heart, which is just a little side note. I could make a photocopy of this list of desires and give it to you. Talk to me if you want something like that. But I recognize that what had been filled for me in this season here in Lethbridge was approval and acceptance and affirmation and worth and value. That those things had been spoken into me. And so when I looked out over those cards, what really sort of resonated for me was stability, which really surprised me, but the little words underneath stability were things like rest and calm and serenity. I thought, maybe I'm just getting old. that's always been something that's been a deep part of me that God wants to teach me about rest. And then also about significance or achievement in terms of, and the key words under there were words like importance, legacy, influence, and impact. And, you know, I remember that when Esme was born, so she's 5 months now, but when she was first born, and I remember holding her in the hospital, and the first thing that came to my mind was, this is what I'm doing, everything I'm doing for it, not just for this little girl, but for women and for other people coming up behind me. I realized, oh, this is that legacy piece. What do we want to teach people about, what does it look like to say yes to building kingdom and to having adventure with Jesus? And so I realized, oh, okay, so this is part of that legacy that I'm looking for. Legacy doesn't mean staying in the same city as my grandchildren. And joy was another one. Connection, fun. That fun could be and delight and fulfillment in this season of our life, that could be something God would have for us.
And so as we could name some of the things in our heart and have a sense, particularly for me, that God was moving more and more into a pastoral kind of focus, that it was those aspects of my present job that were life-giving and felt like God was in. And so it's that somewhere in this process that things also began to shift in Comox. And Chad and Jana feeling like their time and their season in that congregation was coming to a close. And an invitation from a group in Vancouver who've been tracking with us for numbers of years now saying, when would you come out and support us to plant a church in somewhere in that Vancouver area? And so now we engage now in a community kind of process to say, how our calling is walked out in this body. And I think delightfully for us here in Lethbridge, in a larger body of churches in Regina and Calgary and in Comox, and that we could now engage in that discussion and say, so practically then, how does Comox fit with the opportunity in Comox, how does it fit with those desires? How does that compare with continuing here in an assignment that has been adjusted or modified to in keeping with where God is leading us?
I just want to say, are you hearing this language that we're not saying it's just our desires on their own that are so important, but it's that God uses those desires to lead us and to build his kingdom. So it isn't about making me happy. That's not just his goal. He's a good father, as we sang about, but he's building a kingdom. And so he's so good about it that he would say, I want you to join me in this part, but even before I ask you to join me, I'm going to shift some desires. So I'm going to get you ready. That's how good he is. Yeah.
And so Chad had a picture early in this process of a large piece of machinery with many gears and wheels all interconnected and beginning to turn. And God gave him a warning and said, I'm going to start to move some things. Don't put your hands in it. Because if you put your hands in it, you will be hurt and you will muck it up. And so it is very much, that picture has come back to me consistently over these months, to a sense that God is at work, that he is doing things in our lives. He is doing things in the pastoral team here in Lethbridge, and he is doing things in your lives. And as pieces begin to move, things will begin to move for all of us. But it is his initiative. It is not discontentment or sort of false, pursuing false things. It's about a whole group, a whole movement of people who are willing to say yes to God, mm-hmm. and to be observant about what he's doing and be willing to take steps that seem a bit impossible, mm-hmm. in the sense that there's a real sense that God is leading us here, but of course the practical aspects of that aren't that much feel risky. There's a great deal of grief involved in that process and lots of things to try to figure out, but God is clearly in it, and we want to continue to say yes to what it is that he's doing. Go ahead if you have something.
Joel was challenging us in this season because we took Lent to kind of sit with this, to sit with these things that were in our heart. And just as Todd said, you know, just let God sort of blow on those sails of your heart and see where that takes you. So we were sitting with that, and Lawrence said he took a fast from planning, which if you know Lawrence, that's like I was married to a different man for a little while then. But then Joelle challenged us, what about if you keep doing that, even as this process continues now that you've made your decision, what if you let God father you? What if you let him answer some of those questions instead of doing all the things that you guys usually do to figure everything out ahead of time? So we have done very little to get ourselves ready and to take those practical steps. And we're really, it feels like we have to practice what we preach, that we have a father who protects and provides and promotes. And so what does that mean for us to actually walk out of that a little easier than it sounds, a little harder than it sounds, I mean. Yeah.
So just in terms of how this is moving forward, as I said, Chad and John expect to move to Vancouver in the fall at some point, where they will begin the process of supporting these individuals who are tracking with us. You will meet many of them at Canon, Many of them, a good portion of them, are the band that is coming, and so you'll get a chance to meet some of them here at Canon. They are making this announcement at Via Comox Valley this afternoon at 4 o'clock, and so I trust I'll just ask you to be respectful of that. The thing we have to watch, of course, is social media, is that they would not hear from here before they hear from Chad and Janice. So if you could just be mindful of that today, at least. And so we have listed our house, and we are hopeful to make the transition sometime over the summer. The timing of that, where we've got some things we'd like, but we're trying to say God actually knows the best timing around that. But certainly your prayers around some of those practical details, house here and there, and all of those pieces are important to us.
It was interesting to be able to be processing this decision while we had Jeff and Maria Schroeder staying with us for a week. So he's one of the members of that team in Vancouver that have been tracking with us. And it was not lost on me the significance that there's this young couple staying in our home as we are saying yes to something that makes a way for Chad and Janet to go there and serve them. So this beautiful sense of it's not about me, you know, and that we're doing something together. And in this season of our life, to feel like, oh, that's also what legacy looks like, is that we're coming underneath some other people and serving their calls. That's actually quite a beautiful thing.
So we wanted to tell you early in the, as early as sort of makes sense, because there are many things that are impacted by this, and Chad is, we've been talking with Chad and Jana, and he's been hearing word consistently around grieve well. That before you can start to anticipate and launch into what's next, you have to, and so we are in that process with you, and would give you permission as well to have your own response and reaction. And to connect and to talk with people as there are things in your heart that get touched by this.
Chad texted me this morning, and he was just reminding me that, you know, God wants to be so near to us in everything that we're walking. And he's texted me, he said, good morning, Shosho, which is what my grandkids call me. And so then I just started crying, and I texted him back, and I said, thanks a lot, I can't put my makeup on when I'm crying. And he said, who needs makeup? But it reminded me, like, so Atlas was over yesterday, and he's 2.5, and he fell and scraped his elbow, and he sort of immediately he looked at me and just kind of came to me, reached for me, and I held him, and so I can't take away what happened, but just the comfort, the presence, and then I could just tell that's what the Father wants to do for us in this season. And when Atlas wants to take a whole load of things downstairs for his nap, he'll look to us and say, carry it. And so he has books and teddy bears. And I'm like, yeah, the Father wants to carry these things with us. And that's a beautiful, there's permission, beautiful permission for that. Are you preaching or am I preaching? Okay.
Well, your call. So Todd has also asked us to continue carry some responsibilities at a movement level, particularly in the area of healing. And so most of those details will be worked out as well. What are the impacts on our team here? We're just in the beginning of that process of working those out. And so those things will come up before you as that moves forward. So it's been very, as I said, this picture of Chad's of these interconnected wheels and gears that the movement in one causes movement across many other areas. I wanted to talk in the remaining moments with you about the larger context for my journey. That as I reflect on what has happened in this last season of 8 years of being here as part of this body, it's remarkable to sort of say, so what has happened for me in those 8 years, and this current decision that we've made comes in that context. And it's made possible by the journey we've had over these last 8 years. And so over the last couple of weeks, Ryan's been talking to you about the path, which is, it's just a formalized, way of talking about the journey that Wanda and I have been on, of entering into the things that God has brought to us here at Via and responding to Him and following His leading down that place. We're just about to take the next step in that. But I want to just give you a few moments of reflection about what that journey has been like for me, and hopefully that would be helpful to you in your own journey as God moves things in your lives. It's a few verses from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that resonated with my heart. Always dangerous to say, well, this is, me and Paul are the same. That's not what I'm saying. There were parts of what he said that resonated with my own heart as he talks to this church about himself. And he says, "And I, when I came to you, brothers, did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, for I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my message were not implausible words of wisdom, but in a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." So as I said, it's really been this last 10 years of God bringing some remarkable change into my life. And when I came to this congregation 8 years ago, I came here specifically to hide. We were in the middle of a change of congregations, and we had checked out another church in this community, good church. We went one Sunday. It was in our neighborhood. We could walk. It was a beautiful spring day. We went. And I realized the minute I got in the door, this wasn't going to work, because there was no place to hide in this one. There was maybe this many people at most. The benches were arranged in such a way that if you were new, they weren't going to see you. And so I knew the minute I walked in, I wasn't going to be back. But I sat it out anyways. But the minute he said the benediction, I was gone. We were halfway down the block, our whole family, and the pastor came running out. Mike's still on. "I didn't get a chance to meet you." "I know, that was my idea." And so when I came here, we were just at one service then. I thought, oh, here you could hide. I could just sit back there and come, because church is important. It just doesn't work. That's the space I was at. I was tired and hopeless and discouraged. And so I knew church was somehow important. A long established habit for me. So I'll come, but I'll just sit back there and be quiet. And so I came 8 years ago broken and with a very fragmented, misshapen testimony of God, because I had framed my understanding of God largely based on my experience, and it was all twisted and bent out of shape. So I did not have a testimony of God. But the first thing I noticed was that God sees us. He saw me, even though I sat back there and didn't make eye contact with people. He saw me, and He had some things He wanted to do, and it was going to happen in this body, in this community, with these people, with you. And so I think one of the principal things that has happened for me here is that Paul says, "I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." And I think I discovered my need here to bring Christ back into the center of what I believed, to understand in real terms what the gospel was, and to make it the most important central thing, that all of my life would come around the gospel. To rediscover and just revel in the beauty of the salvation that God has for us. That my journey marked the end of a 20-year walk of defiance and distrust of the Father, and saying, "I don't know what you're up about, but I won't have any more of it," based on my own experience. And that in bringing Christ back into the center of my understanding of Christianity, of focusing on his life and his death and his resurrection and his ascension, to understand that there is a beautiful present nature of salvation that I need every day. And that there is, that he is as anxious to receive my call for salvation today as he was to receive my call for salvation as a 4-year-old. That same desire of his is that his grace and his mercy are present for me and they are real. That it's not an idea that I sort of say, well, somewhere it's good and hopefully in heaven it'll be that way. But that I could walk in it, I could stand in it in the present in exactly what my life was like. And that in that process my heart would come alive again. And that there would be a resurrection of my heart as the gospel would begin to do its work. That I would put down my walls and I would put down my anger and say, I need your salvation. Would you work in my heart? And so that's in the language that we've come to adopt now here and is strong for us. That's about claiming my sonship and saying, because of the gospel, I am a son. And I could have, on a consistent basis, real experiential encounters with a beautiful, loving Heavenly Father. And that all of my, increasingly my life would be like Paul's and Christ and his death and resurrection would be central to my journey. Paul says then, I was with you in weakness and fear and trembling. I remember the first time Todd ever said to me, so you want to come work at the church? I just laughed at him and said, that's not going to happen. Because that was the defiant decision that I had made after being in a pastor 20 years ago and it all going haywire. I said, I'll never do that again. And so, I would say there's been a great deal of fear and trembling in my journey over these last years. And I think I understand what Paul is saying, but the thing that struck me as I reflect on these last 8 years, particularly the being on staff, so many things that pressed my buttons and triggered me and caused me great fear and anxiety and to move back into this protective hidden place. That I think increasingly I'm not afraid of who I am. I don't have a higher opinion of myself than I ought to, but I'm also not afraid of who it is that I am. That I am at this spot and on this place of my journey by God's design. And that as I anticipate things in Comox, there's great fear and trembling for me because there's all kinds of things that I will have to grow into there as well. But I am increasingly at rest in my dependence on the Father. As I said to you, it was remarkable to me to feel like this administrative part of my skill set was growing weaker and going into this panic mode and realizing, no, this is just what happens when the Holy Spirit lifts his grace off something. We are so dependent on the good hand of the Father. And I would say most of my life was characterized by this obsession with myself. And the journey has been this beautiful revelation of the consistent operation of the hand of the Father in my life. And that he's trustworthy and gentle and that I can be at rest in his care. And that not only could I be at rest, but that I could engage with my heart, that I could speak out my desires and part of my calling and what he has for me would be what he is saying and what my desires and that somehow those would come together and that he would lead us into the next step. even really immaterial desires, like saying when we come back from doing a conference at Comox, why do we live in Lethbridge again? As the wind takes everything off, as you get out of the car. It's not an important desire. But that he would even hear it. That's the kind of father we have. That he would hear that desire and he would make a way for that. So that's changed for me that I'm okay staying in this place of dependence, because healing is not about getting fixed or attaining some kind of status or all this works. It's about increasingly knowing that the Father is a good Father and that he will care and take us even through this journey that seems impossible on so many levels. And then finally, Paul says that he operated in a certain way because he wanted it to be a clear demonstration of the power of the Spirit. Remarkable. There was nothing in me that said I was ever going to move off that chair in the back there. The entire journey is a demonstration of the power of the Spirit. It would not have happened without the power of God. And so that gives me great anticipation and hope for the future. Because the same Spirit that moved me out of my hiding will be part of this next piece of the journey. And so I hope that is, we have come together as a body saying that what we want is a move of the Spirit, that we want a church like God envisioned it, that it would be glorious, that it would look like the church in Acts, a church in which the Spirit is at move. And this is one small example, I think. My journey, I see it as one example of what the Spirit is willing to do. He's willing to take someone who sat on that seat and said, I'm never leaving that seat. And brings us now to this place of saying, we believe God is calling us to do this and we're willing to do that. This is the work of the Spirit. And so, I don't know what's ahead of you. Or how, as these wheels and connected things start to turn, something in your life will turn as a result. But I commend to you a loving Heavenly Father, a powerful salvation of Jesus, and the gentleness of the Spirit that would say to you, will you say yes to what's in front of you? That the first steps for me were filled with absolute terror and were very hesitant and I backed up more than I went forward. And now the steps seem too big again. It seems too risky. It feels very uncomfortable. There's a great mix of grief and sadness in some ways in this decision. But it is very clear that God is in it. It is very clear that He has set something in our hearts and that He will bring about. And that it is a decision that I have not made on my own. But it is a decision that we have made together in community. And so I would just commend that to you. What is the step in front of you? What will God speak to you as the wheels turn? How that you would stand firm in your yes to Him. That you would walk that out with one another. Even the hard bits, even the things of confusion. That you would find someone even today to talk with that. And that you would allow hope and expectation for the future to grow in your heart. Because God has such good things. I came to this passage because further down, Paul talks about we have only begun to see the good things that God wants to do for us. Best of luck.
Well, there's always two sides to a day like this. My wife, Sherry, captured one side best. When I went home and told her what Lawrence and Wanda were feeling, her response is, "Sometimes it just sucks to be a sending church." There is some grief involved. But to me, it's a very significant thing when the Lord puts his hand on leaders in a congregation, a church family like ours. Because, as Wanda said, it's not just about them. He's sending a message to you. It's a sign to you that where did you make a covenant in the past? I'll never go there again. And your yes turned into a no. Where is your heart, your seat became a place to hide instead of a place to launch? When Lawrence and Wanda come here, the things of the Spirit were largely foreign to them. And I remember after not very long, when we'd finished a weekend and there were lots of altar ministry, and he had a dream. It may have been just before one of those nights. And in his dream, he said to me, "Todd, you go home. I got this Holy Spirit stuff." Isn't that true? "I got this Holy Spirit stuff." Which it used to terrify him. The unknowns. The lack of familiarity. Because you can't control the Holy Spirit. "I got this stuff." And so to Lawrence and Wanda, as you're going into a next phase, you've got this stuff. Yeah. The things that scare you now, you'll just be teaching on in a few months. You will be. They'll actually be, the wave that scares you now will be the wave you're surfing in 3 months, and that you're riding it and loving it. But what about the rest of us? Where are we hiding? Where are we giving just enough? Where are we being held back by our fears? And where would the Holy Spirit like to take us on a bit of a ride? If we just trust Him. If we just trust Him and turn that hesitation into an expectation and turn that no into a yes, "I'll do this for you." So let's bow our head in a word of prayer and give you a moment to hear. What would He say to you? This is a sign for us about the whole next contingent of people that are going to come up into their place. That you're at this stage, you're not fully all that Jesus sees in you. So much more. So I'm going to invite you and challenge you in this moment, turn that no into a yes. Ask Him to take all hesitation from you and to change it into expectation. Tell him, I don't want to be ruled by my fears any longer. I'd like to be led by faith, not ruled by fears. I think you've got more for me. And so, tell him I'll follow this example. When I used to be the president of a Bible school, I felt the Lord told me the greatest leadership thing I ever did was resigning and stepping out in faith. I was leading in leaving. Because I had to leave everything to do it. I was doing, by example, what I was hoping my students would do. So, Lawrence, I'm one of your greatest acts of leadership. And the greatest inheritance you'll leave behind isn't finishing, it's just starting. It's a new chapter of that unfolds today. Take a moment of quiet.